And so sometimes we're learning and sometimes we're not sure. And we're like, Holy Spirit, would you show us what you want? Because we just want to please you. And so I want to encourage you in every area of your life to be doing what God wants, to seek His interest above your own, the interests of Christ above your own. That's what we're trying to do here as a church. And I just love and honor our worship team for doing that in their time. They're not up here to perform a show or to do a concert or to sound good. They're really here to, Lord, what do you want? How can we glorify you this morning? So how beautiful. Love it. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Galatians 4 and Romans 8 we'll be reading from this morning. These are two main scriptures that we're going to encounter today, and they describe the spirit of adoption and the spirit of sonship. And if you want to learn and grow with me, you can take notes today. But let me give you some context. We're going to use language today that focuses on the word sons. But if you are not a son, but you're a daughter, you're included in this, okay? This is not just for the men that the Bible uses this term sons. This is for everyone. You could maybe think of the word daughter. However, you should know that the Bible uses symbolic language to emphasize certain qualities and values. And culturally, sons in the Bible receive an inheritance from their father, whereas daughters in that time did not. And so this is significant that God uses this word sons when he describes us. And good news, ladies, Galatians 3 says, for in Christ Jesus, we're all sons. And all it takes is one lady to say something like, you know, well, that's not fair because, you know, I'm a lady, I'm not a son. Well, in fact, it's not fair. It's an honor to be called a son of God. But also for us guys, dudes, we have to be called the bride of Christ sometimes. So it might get uncomfortable, but these are words that hold intrinsic value. And so we are sons and we're the bride of Christ. So men, why don't you turn to somebody and say, I am a bride. And ladies, turn to somebody and say, I am a son. Thank God. Thank God. All right. So Romans 8:14, it's up on the screens there. It says this. Oh, I love this. I love this scripture. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. What spirit? Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. I'm so thankful that we have the Holy Spirit to remind us that we are children of God. That when we forget our identity, the Holy Spirit comes and reminds us we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we might also be glorified with Him. Praise God. Galatians 4, verse 3 to 7. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 to 7. It says this. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons of God, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. Into whose hearts? Our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Heirs. Sons, heirs, sons, spirit of adoption, spirit of sonship. We see something in this scripture that is such a powerful revelation for us to grasp. Today, we're going to explore the power in your royal identity. Let's pray. Would you close your eyes with me? Thank you, Jesus. You can open them if you want to, but I like to close them. Doesn't really change much, except it shuts out a bunch of distractions, and that allows us to focus on Jesus. And so Jesus, we do this morning. We look to you. I pray that as we read your word, that we would encounter Christ within it. I pray that as your presence is moving throughout this room today, that you would reveal yourself in this place. Lord, I pray that you would demolish and tear down every lie that we have believed about our identity or about you, Father God. Reveal the truth today, and we believe by faith that the truth will set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Well, there is this special and awesome term used in the Bible called sonship. And we are invited into a relationship with God through Christ as sons of God. Although we are all called into being sons of God, there are many in the church today that still live like an orphan. And the orphan heart or the orphan spirit has plagued the world. I love this quote by author Leif Hetland. He says, "The orphan spirit is a mindset that leads to a state of the heart, and it's rooted in the moment Adam and Eve were separated from union with God by their sin." Ever since the beginning, when Adam and Eve had separated themselves from God, this orphan heart and this orphan spirit had entered the world. The orphan spirit is not a spirit that can be cast out. It can only be displaced by love, because perfect love drives out all fear. The only solution to healing the orphan heart is to embrace by faith the revelation of a loving heavenly Father and to receive the spirit of adoption and the spirit of sonship. I want to say this: God never intended for us to live as spiritual orphans without a spiritual father or without a spiritual home. We can all have access to God our Father through the blood of Jesus, but many don't. Many don't walk in it. And we're all invited to a home in his presence to daily live with him, but many of us don't. Our heavenly Father takes great pleasure in bestowing upon us love, peace, joy, protection, provision, and it's all found exclusively in his home, in his presence. Sonship is probably up there in one of the most important topics around our identity to grasp. In fact, in Romans 8 and 9, verse 19, it says that all creation is patiently crying out for the manifestation of mature sons of God. It is so important that the creation around us is crying out for you to walk in your revelation as a mature son of God. I believe that if more people, if more of us would dive in and grasp this revelation of sonship, there'd be less sickness upon the earth today. I believe that if we truly had faith in our loving heavenly Father and our identity as sons, there'd be more solution to the world's problems. Creation is crying out. Would someone wake up and see their identity as sons of God? And I'm excited to grow in this, man. Like, I have had encounters with God where I've had revelations that increase as a son of God, but there is more to comprehend and more to grasp than what I've even scratched the surface on. This is a deep and powerful revelation of our identity and God's identity as a loving heavenly Father that we're gonna just kind of dive into a little bit this morning, but there is more for you. I want to preface that. There is more for you. As he fathers your heart and you let him in, you start to learn what it looks like to trust him and to have faith in his goodness and nature, and then we begin to act like a son. Let me talk about the lie this morning. I want to take you back to the story of the Garden of Eden. The story of the Garden of Eden. Now, the first face The first touch, the first emotion that Adam and Eve experienced was that of a loving father who created them. Isn't that beautiful? God blessed them and gave them leadership and responsibility over the garden and the animals and to walk in the presence of God. In Genesis chapter 2, we read that God told Adam, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." But then the lie was told to them by the serpent. This serpent came in. The lie was, the serpent said, "If you eat this fruit, you won't die. You'll become like God." Is that true? Well, no, because he's a liar for starters. He manipulates truth and creates lies. So why is this the case? Well, Adam and Eve were already created in the image of God. To say that they'd become like God is devaluing the very work God did in them. They were already created in God's image. The act of disobedience was like them saying, "In order for me to reach my fullest potential, I need to be independent from God." And that's what it was like when they ate of the fruit. What was the serpent trying to do? He was trying to convince them that God is withholding something from you, that God can't be fully trusted, that God and his word and his presence is nice, but it's not enough. The lie is that you need something more, and this lie is still being whispered in the ears of people today. The lie in the Garden of Eden was that God is not enough for you. The enemy will try and tell you lies like the blood of Jesus is powerful, but it's not powerful enough to cleanse you from all sin. He'll try and tell you lies like the Holy Spirit isn't enough to empower you to walk in holiness. He'll try and tell you lies like God's blessing is being used up on other people and there's not enough for you. You need to try something else. Maybe you need some crystals. Maybe you need to steal. Maybe you need to cheat. The enemy lies and says things to us like, "You're not enough. God's not enough. Start looking elsewhere." Should I go on? Maybe the enemy lies and tells you things like, "You need to drink a little more to feel joy. Maybe you need another partner to feel loved." But it all stems from the lie in the very beginning that he is not enough. That he is not enough. The lie that keeps sons acting like orphans is the lie that says you need to look for identity elsewhere. Look for identity elsewhere. I can look for my identity in business, but if the business goes bankrupt, my sense of self-worth is bankrupt also. I can look for my identity in sport, but if I fracture my leg, then I've fractured my identity also. I can look for my identity in friendships or family, but if I lose my friendships or family, then I've lost my identity also. But there is one thing that never changes, that never fades away, and that is that you have access to a loving father who wants to affirm your identity as a son and as a daughter of him. Identity cannot be satisfied in any other place but the sonship found in Jesus Christ. Through the transformational power of the Holy Spirit and from the adoption of a loving heavenly Father. I want to skip ahead a little bit for the sake of time today. We see this example happening in the story of the prodigal son, where the prodigal son who was lost and troubled, he comes home, running home, and the father sees him. And although the son had betrayed the father and went out and spent things that he shouldn't have spent it on, he comes running home and the father embraces the lost son and says, "Hey, I see your repentant heart. You're welcome home." But see, the older brother, he represents what we would call that orphan heart or that orphan spirit. He speaks out of turn and he says, "Father, I've been here working in your farm all this time. And yet this one guy comes home, he's been going out and spending money on prostitutes and drugs and pigs, and he's wasted the inheritance. And here I am working, and you cut up a fattened calf for him, but you didn't even give me a goat. And the father's puzzled and confused, because he could say to the son, son, why are you envious about a goat when you have access to all the animals on my farm? If you want an animal, ask, it's yours. And we see here that even in the father's house, a son can act like an orphan. And unfortunately, sometimes our identity is filtered through the lens of acting like an orphan, like we don't really have a loving Heavenly Father. When God's saying, you have access to everything here. You know, sometimes I want to point out a few things that differentiate a son and an orphan, just so we can get context, but I'll skip over a few of them today. And these are all things that even as I was writing them, I felt Holy Spirit say, hey, you need to resurrender that mindset to me. The first one is this, that the orphan heart operates out of insecurity, but the spirit of sonship lives from love and grace. And sometimes an orphan heart could look like this. It looks like when other people are blessed and promoted and loved on, there's something insecure about, why doesn't that happen to me? And if you struggle and you wrestle with other people getting praise or promotion or blessing or honor, then you need to step back into the spirit of sonship. You need to resurrender, repent from that orphan mindset, that orphan spirit. The orphan spirit is often overly competitive and jealous of others' success, but the mature son is committed to the success of others. I want to jump down to my third one here. The orphan spirit tries to rush the process, but a son waits patiently for God to direct his steps. The perfect example of this in the scripture, I love this, God's been really speaking to me about this lately, is when Jesus said in John chapter 5, he says, I speak to you eternal truth. The Son is unable to do anything from himself or through his own initiative. I only do the works that I see my Heavenly Father doing. For the Son does the same works as his Father. Because the Father loves his Son so much, he always reveals to him everything that he is about to do. You know, I don't need to rush into a job. I don't need to rush into a relationship. I don't need to rush into big decisions without my Father showing me the way. There's this term in scripture called like walking in step with the Spirit. And God's been speaking to me about this. I've been asking him what it is like. And in prayer one time, I had my eyes closed and I saw the Father walking on the beach, and I was just following him like I used to do with my dad when I was younger. And I used to just hop in the footprints. Do you know what I mean? Anyone got kids that do that? Just hop in their footprints on the beach. And I felt like the Father was showing me, this is what it looks like to walk in step with my Spirit, that you don't rush ahead and leave me behind. That you don't lag behind and get caught up in distractions while the Father's moving ahead, but you patiently wait for him to lift his heel, and you see an open door, an open heaven, an open opportunity. You say, God, I'm gonna step right in just where you are, and I'm walking in step with the Spirit. I only do what I see my Father doing. But so often we rush ahead into big decisions in our life and think, well, of course God will want me to have this. This is nice, this is good, this is a blessing, you know. She's really pretty. But are you waiting for him to show you? Are you waiting for him to open that opportunity? Or are you just jumping into the next best decision? You know, this is a nice house. Maybe I'll buy this house. But are you waiting for him to confirm it, to show you? Do you really believe that he is good? That he is a loving Heavenly Father and wants to speak to you? Because if we truly believed it, we wouldn't be so quick to rush ahead and listen to all these other voices before waiting for his. I heard Bill Johnson say recently, one of the reasons people struggle to hear from God is not his ability to speak, his inability to speak, or our inability to hear from him. It's usually our willingness to listen to too many other voices that we don't know which one's his anymore. Do we go to him first or do we go to him third? We don't rush ahead. Orphans rush ahead. Orphans are striving for success, but sons wait for their father's step and prompting. I'll go to number five. The orphan strives for everything, but a son has faith in the inheritance. Somebody say inheritance. Romans 8:17, Paul says, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs." What are we? Heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we might also share in his glory. The term heirs here emphasizes our relationship to God the Father. As children, we have an inheritance that doesn't spoil, that doesn't perish or doesn't fade. The Greek term translated heirs refers to this. It could be like literally translated to those who receive their allotted possession by right of sonship. What does it mean to be an heir? It means you receive your allotted possession by right of sonship, not by right of striving, not by your good works, not by how much you can shabba-dabba-do, not by how loud you can worship, not by any of those measures or metrics, but by right of sonship. In other words, because God has made us his children, we have full rights to receive his inheritance. We are his beneficiaries. We are his beneficiaries. We get to walk in inheritance. He has adopted us as his children so that we could live in his presence and share in his inheritance. He's not stingy about giving blessing away. He's not stingy about answering prayers or promises, but he delights in sharing his inheritance with his kids. I'll say this, he is waiting for us to see him like a father so that he can treat us like sons. His father's heart is longing for his kids to experience his love. Let's look at what this inheritance could be. It's so vast, it's so grand, but we'll scratch the surface here. By the grace of God and our adoption into sonship, Christ shares with us his righteousness, his riches, his healing, his power. Come on, somebody. Access to the presence of the living God. I can't book an appointment with the Prime Minister, but I can book an appointment with the King of Kings. This is crazy. Honestly, this blows my mind every time. You know, as we're worshiping and we entered into that high praise today, that this thought keeps recycling through my mind. If Jesus walked into the room, how would you respond? You know, people cheer and cry and praise God when a new president or a new prime minister is elected, like the savior of the world has come. They're not even close to the King of Kings who's in the room this morning. But how will we respond? He is waiting for us to treat him like a glorious, loving heavenly father so that he can pour out his inheritance on his sons. He wants you to see him that way. We don't have access to power by striving. We receive it by faith in inheritance of a loving father. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, not by striving, but by the Spirit. You don't receive healing by striving, but it's by his stripes. We don't strive for God's blessing, resources, or provision. We know our Father owns cattle on 1,000 hills. We don't become righteous by doing good things or striving or by our performance. We receive it by faith in the blood of Jesus and an inheritance from a loving Father. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. How do we access this inheritance? there is only one way. Thankfully, praise God, there's only one way. That makes it so much easier. I don't have to look. I don't have to figure out what Buddha says. I don't have to figure out what someone else says. I don't have to know what Santa Claus says. I can look straight to Jesus. There is only one way to access our inheritance. John 14, verse 6 says this. Jesus says, I am the way. One way. The truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one becomes a son except through me. No one has access to the inheritance except through me. John 10, 9, Jesus says, I am the door. Somebody say door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. We can go in and out of his presence. We can walk into his presence, find what we need, and go back into our workplace and release the kingdom of God. There is an inheritance we have access to in and out, and it's through Jesus. The blood of Jesus is our portal into our new identity as sons of God. And in our new identity as sons, we have access to his presence. Oh, Jesus, we love you. All right, I need to close. Maybe Keys, you could come and help me wrap up. Thank you, Jesus. Is this helping somebody this morning? I hope that this could be an encouragement to you that if there's any trace or any ounce of an orphan heart or an orphan mindset or spirit within you, that you'd re-surrender it this morning and say, Lord, make me a son. Lord, father me afresh. Teach me that you're a loving father. I renounce every lie that you are not a loving father and I put my trust again in you. I pray that this would do something in you this morning and release a hope in you that you have access to him. And he wants you to experience his love. Whenever we are looking for an answer on who we are, it can always be found in Jesus. Whenever you're looking to see how the Father sees you, it can be found in Jesus. And if we're ever looking for an answer to who God is to us, it can always be found in Jesus. His life reveals the truth about God, and his life reveals the truth about your identity. He is the perfect example of a son, and not just a son, a royal son. Jesus specifically said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That's a promise to somebody today. He will not leave you as an orphan. He will come to you. And when he comes to you, how will you respond? How will you respond? Jesus is always the answer. Jesus is our inheritance. Jesus is God's gift to us. The greatest gift he could ever give was himself. Jesus is our righteousness. He is our healing. He is our delight. Jesus is the doorway into the presence of God, and he is the delight within the presence of God. Jesus isn't just the doorway into heaven. His presence is heaven itself. Everything we need is in him. 2 Peter 1:3 says, by his divine power, the Lord has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of the one who was called by his own honor and glory. Jesus is all that we need. He's not just our ticket to heaven. He's the joy of heaven itself. You know, Jesus never in his life walking on the earth exhibited the traits of an orphan spirit because he always lived with an awareness of his Father's love and a constant awareness of his presence in all circumstances. Even when people betrayed him, he didn't act like an orphan and betray them. The only time we see Jesus give the sign or evidence of an orphan spirit is when he was on the cross and he bore the weight of our sin and bore the weight of our shame and took on for us the orphan spirit and cried out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" And he nailed it to the cross. And he buried it in a tomb and he resurrected again. The orphan spirit has been paid for by the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus is your new door into walking in sonship as a royal son, as a royal daughter, with access to the presence of God, even in the worst time of your life. He is there for you. The only solution to healing the orphan heart is to embrace by faith a loving Heavenly Father and to receive His love by the power of the Spirit of adoption and the Spirit of sonship. I want to pray today. Would you close your eyes with me? We're 10 minutes over 11. I hope you can bear with us for just another moment. I know you can. We want to pray. Holy Spirit, across this room today, I pray that you would awaken in us that spirit which cries out, "Abba, Father." I thank you, Lord, that just as we've learned before, one word from the Father can undo a multitude of lies that we've believed about ourselves or about you. Father, I pray that you would speak this morning. Reveal yourself in this room. And may we encounter Jesus, who is everything that we need. With your eyes closed this morning, I just want to invite you to ask Father God, "Father God, show me the son or the daughter that you've called me to be. What do I look like to you?" Just ask him that. Say it with me. Father, show me how you see me. What does it look like to be your child? And say this with me, Holy Spirit, is there anything in my life today that has been holding me back for walking like your child? Would you reveal and remove that lie from me and restore my identity as a son of God? With every eye closed across this room today, if you're here today and you haven't surrendered your life before to this awesome, loving Father, and you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to give you the opportunity to today. You know, Jesus doesn't just tell us to invite him into our hearts, although that is true. But there's this greater news in the gospel that it's not just inviting Jesus into your life, but it's him inviting you into his. We see that in the inheritance. God's not just inviting you to ask him to come and live with you today. He's inviting you to come and live with him. And so if you're here today, and you're not living with God, you're not walking with him, then with every eye closed, I want to give you the opportunity to make that response today. In fact, why don't we all stand across this room? Can we all stand to our feet? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Worship team, you can begin to play something holy. Thank you. If you're here today and you haven't been living with Jesus, why don't you just raise your hand nice and high? You need to commit your life to Jesus. Awesome, thank you, bro. Anyone else? Yeah, awesome, thank you, sister. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. I need to be walking with Jesus. I need to re-surrender and recommit my life to Him today. Let's pray this prayer together. Say, Jesus, I give you my life and I thank you that you invite me into yours. Lord, I repent of my sin and I turn to you as my Lord and Savior. Heal me, restore me, wash me in your blood, set me free, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and reveal to me the heart of a loving Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to close the service today in worship, and I want to invite you, invite everyone in your seats, or if you want to come and take a step forward on the altar, to worship God and allow Him to restore His identity as a loving Father in your life and in your heart, and allow your heart to re-surrender and be transformed by that revelation that you are a son, you are a daughter, and you are loved by God. By the blood of Jesus, you enter into something new this morning. So I want to invite you, as we worship, would you come forward in your seats? Would you lift your hands? And let's look to Him. Thank you, Jesus.